Hi there, this is Lauren Coleman talking to you from a wild corner of America. You can reach me through looking on my website, which is laurencoleman.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Little tutorial, GHI. We're gonna teach you what to do when you first see a ghost. Okay? We're gonna look for a ghost, And then if we see one, we're going to do the right steps of action afterwards. So, you know, you want to be calm. You don't want to do anything stupid. You want to sit there, say your prayers or whatever, make the ghost go away, ask the questions maybe. But whatever you do, you can't scream, you cannot run, you can't do anything like that. It's only going to make it worse. And it's not like you're going to outrun them, because they'll follow you wherever you go. So let's do it. Let's go. Follow me. This is the Church of the Damned, where it's known haunted. Very, very, very haunted. Books have been thrown, people have been thrown. And hopefully tonight we get some action. Very creepy, there's no lights anywhere in here, so if you have a flashlight you'd be good, which we don't, so that's us. And windows, cracked windows, very nice, beautiful. We're just gonna look around here. I'm just gonna stop right here. Is anyone here? It's good to ask some questions.
Nick, check out that. Look at this corner. Look at the corner over there.
Corner. That,
no, over there.
Raised in a Christian environment, Rick struggled to find answers for his abilities through faith and prayer. In 2002, a dear friend consulted with Rick in regards to a loved one who was soon moving on with a cancerous disease. With Rick's assistance, the pain of losing a loved one turned to comfort in knowing that life is everlasting. The friend's words changed Rick's life path. With continued prayer and guidance, Rick made the decision to go public. Since the launching of Life's Gift in 2003, Rick has assisted many in consultation in regards to life and life everlasting. Ghostly Talk would like to welcome back Rick Hayes of LifesGift.com.
Welcome, Rick.
Welcome. It's such a pleasure to be back again.
Well, I remember the last time we had the pleasure of having you here. It was one of those shows, and there's just everyone, when we have a guest on the show, there's some shows where you walk away with this new sense, like, you know, you feel good, you feel refreshed, you know. That's what I felt last time we had you on. I mean, it was a really feel-good kind of show. We really had a great time. We had a good conversation. And I think you kind of brought us up. I think that day we were both kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, and we learned a lot. And that's what I really appreciate.
Yes, we were.
So thank you. Thank you for what's to come.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we learn from each other. I mean, that's part of life daily. I mean, just to learn from each other each day. So I learned from you both also. So I remember that last show, and we did have such a great time. And in fact, we got my co-author and I was on that show, and we talked about it after the show. That, you know, it's just a lot of things that you shared also that you know, brought us some new insight.
Oh, well, that's really cool. I didn't know that part.
Wow, I like that. That's really good to hear.
That's really cool to hear.
You want to talk about the afterlife, and you know what? That's pretty much what our show is about.
Oh, thank goodness.
So it works out really well.
I think we got a good match here.
Yeah, there's a match coming
up. Good planning. Good job.
Because the afterlife, here's a little story. A fellow had posted in our forums, and I met him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Had posted in our forums. You know, we're running out as ghost hunters, right? We're taking photos. We're getting, you know, trying to record EVPs. You know, voices of deceased folks, and we're trying to get all this evidence, and also get a little creeped out, and plus, you know, enjoy each other as well, and all of our own theories, and read on the subject of the paranormal. So it, like, you know, as this hobby. And some folks' careers are in enveloping them and grasping them, sometimes people might get a little bit frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like, you put up a photo that you think is very compelling, and suddenly you've got, you know, a lot of people taunting you, you know. Oh, right. That can't possibly be this. So you get a little frustrated with the animosity. With there's a level of that. There's mm-hmm. also but there's a lot of support as well in the ghost hunting community and the paranormal community at large. There's a lot of support too, but sometimes you don't get it, and you lose sight, and
yeah.
and you lose mm-hmm. the you know, what is it we're looking for, and all of it really does sort of come to: what happens when we're gone? What happens when I, you know, this body that I'm in right now ceases to function? And you know, is there a soul? Do we continue on? That's the overall, like, overwhelming questions that we're looking to try and answer through science, through meditation, through learning from ourselves, through learning from other people. We're trying to figure this out. And Rick, you have a lot to say. And you wanted to, like, you started out with, is there an afterlife? And I think that's the number one question. And so, is there an afterlife?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, the comment you just made is a very valid comment. That's I don't know if everyone out in, you know, in the listening audience has recognized it or not, but more and more people are becoming more curious about what is exactly goes on after we leave here. And I heard the other day someone made a statement that the veil is getting thinner and thinner between life and life after, because more and more people are getting more better understanding of there is a life after, and because there is more than just here. With the abilities I've been given, and I consult on a daily basis now with, like you said, many, and with the continuing validations, with the continuing acknowledgement of ghostly presences, for example, you know, that on a daily basis, I know that there is a life after. And we was created with a very unique spiritual energy, and we're created here to follow a purpose in life and to learn in life and to grow in life. And then once we complete our plan here on Earth, we simply move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You know, you just made a very interesting comment that someone you were discussing this with said that, as of, well, recent now, that the veil between our existence and the afterlife is getting thinner.
And you know what? I wonder if...
Absolutely.
I really am starting to think that there's truth to that. There is such an awareness now. And I wonder... See, here's the thing. I'm a big fan of Edgar Cayce, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more remote things that he said was that, you know, you create your own reality. He didn't say it in exactly that kind of wording, because, you know, when he would fall asleep and consult the information, it was, you know, it came out, you know, flowing and wonderful. But pretty much you create your own reality is, you know, what it boils down to. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, I don't think I created very much of my own reality. But the more I think about it, and the more I see, and the more I go through life and enjoy other people and enjoy learning and enjoy reading and for some reason watch Project Runway. I have no clue why I do that. But
that's my new guilty pleasure.
But as I do this, I'm thinking, do you know what? Maybe there is something to creating our own reality. It's just like, so I'm thinking now, right, that suddenly there's, because of this awareness that seems to be springing up, and it's from media, it's from, you know,
right.
It's not so much from Ghostly Talk, but it is from, you know, the ghost hunters and then the psychic detectives and all the stuff that's on the TV and all the podcasts, the wonderful podcasts that are on the internet from
yeah.
folks doing paranormal shows.
Mm-hmm.
People are plugging in and tuning in and listening in their cars and watching on their TVs, and they're getting this awareness and perhaps some kind of not conscious awareness, but unconscious group awareness is causing more of like a thinning of the veil. And
well, that's a very good point. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, it's just a fact since beginning of time. There's been questions about, is there life after? There's documentations at the beginning of time. There was questions on life after. And so it's always been there. The question of life after has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that we are getting more aware just because of the media looking at it differently, and because of each individual becoming more and more open-minded. I think that, I believe it was about 2 years ago, they actually had a poll and it said that 7 out of 10 individuals today believe there is something more than life here. And that, you know, it's becoming more and more commonplace for me to speak with individuals, and they tell me, you know, they share with me, they say, I've always felt there was something more, but I was kind of afraid to talk about it because everybody would think I was weird. And I look at them and I say, well, why do you think I kept my abilities private all these years?
There you go. That's a perfect example right there. That's an interesting point. I mean, it's kind of bouncing back to what we were talking about the last hour with Diana. We said that, I mean, it came up right in the same, you know, in our conversation with her, where we were like, she's like, nowadays it seems like people come up to her not so, how would you say, not so sheepishly, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're more open about their
experience. They'll talk about it among the whole group. She's a ghost tour guide.
Tour guide, yeah.
Near Atlanta, Georgia. And I was asking about the people who go on the tour, you know. And she says there's a definite difference from when she started. And, you know, people are talking more openly about
more
their own experience and having their own, questions about it. And
mm-hmm.
so there is some kind of awareness that is seeping into society.
Yeah, totally.
Well, and I think the society are becoming more accepting to it. You know, if like personally, I have consulted with doctors, policemen, detectives, in all facets of what we call the professional industries. And, you know, years ago, in order to protect their professionalism, they would not speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're becoming more and more where it's, hey, there is something, you know, I want to talk about it. I want to know more about it. And so, you know, I think people are saying, let's look more into this. There's got to be more than just life here.
Well, I know one thing I keep saying, cause, you know, one of the questions I, Doug and myself, get all the time when people find out what we do as far as the show is concerned or our investigations is...
We try to keep that secret.
We try to. Sometimes
yeah,
it's like, you know...
Our Ghostly Talk shirts or something give us away. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but they're like, you know, aside from...
Because we're not smart, so,
Well,
so
aside,
be me.
Well, aside from, like, have you ever seen a ghost, which, you know, that's a pretty commonplace question, there's the other one, like, well, do you believe in ghosts? You know, you guys study this stuff. Do you believe that there are spirits? And the one thing I keep saying to people is, well, over the last 5-6 years I've been doing this, I've seen and heard things that just I cannot explain. Therefore, based on that evidence I have to myself, and that's for myself, that's not for everybody else, that's just me, I believe there is something really going on. There is something happening here. I can't put my finger on exactly where it is myself, but there's definitely, with the things I've seen and heard too many weird things to really say, I've been doing this for a number of years, but I can't prove anything. I really can't say anything yet about this. I'll have to keep investigating. I mean, I really have an opinion on that where I think there is something going on. And I think with all this hyper-awareness that we have going on, Rick, you're right. There is some type of unconscious thing, I think, that maybe we are playing into the matrix, so to say, and accessing
Ooh,
this information now.
I like
that. I mean, that may be what's going on unconsciously with us. What do you think about that?
Well, and again, I also feel that with the individual, with the groups of paranormal investigators, investigative groups who are looking into the spiritual energies in a scientific and analytical realm, and with those like myself who don't, the only tools we have are what we've been given within, I think with the combination and partnership of both working side by side, we've actually have made that veil even thinner, because investigators are approaching in a scientific and analytical, like I stated, realm.
Yeah.
And so it's reaching those who look at life in a scientific and analytical field. and with those who is just entirely based on faith and open-mindedness, you know, then we're reaching those too. So, you know, I think the combination of the media, investigative groups, and those like myself working together in partnership is actually what is allowing individuals to be more open-minded about their thoughts about life after.
And that's really, really interesting when you think about this, because Doug's got his antlers up also. I think we're thinking the same thing here.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that we've, Rick, since we talked to you last, one of the things that we've been including in when people say, you know, well, what do you take with you on a hunt, on an investigation? And mm-hmm. and we say, well, of course, you know, you want the normal stuff, like a flashlight, and the, you know, hint, hint.
Sorry, guys.
There's some people here who don't seem to want to bring flashlights to investigations. But, you know, a flashlight and you know,
a camera, some recorders.
But, you know, the most important thing, one of the most important things is going to be your senses. You know, you want to pay attention to everything that's going on in that location, because should something happen that you need to see, right, and you miss it because
right.
you're not open, you're not paying attention, you know, you've missed your opportunity, and you need to keep your senses open. You still have to be protected. You know, you want to be ensure that you're, you know, well grounded and you know what you're doing at all times, and you know not get completely taken over or
yeah.
whatever, but you want to definitely be aware of your surroundings and of any activity that might happen. So your own eyes, your own ears, your schnoz, you know, your smeller, your sniffer, you want that there. You pay attention to the prickly feeling that happens, you know, up and down your spine when you walk into a particular creepy room. And, you know, some of that's your internal senses going, you know, either danger or, hey, there's something here you need to see.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'll to add to that, I feel like we all have the ability to be perceptive. We all have the same abilities that I share. And it's just that these abilities have been blocked as we've grown up, because we've been told it was just our imagination, it's a coincidence, women's intuition. And by blocking these abilities, we do not utilize them like we should. And I share with everyone in seminars that it's a scientific fact: if you close your eyes for many, many years, you will not see. And if you close your ears for many, many years, you will not hear. It's the same thing with your perceptive abilities. And by utilizing these abilities, you can, and utilizing the senses like you were talking about, you become more aware. And I think that goes back to what we was talking about, that people are becoming more aware of life after, because they're starting to say, you know, before, when I saw a penny on the ground, in the middle of the floor for no apparent reason, you know, I just took it as, well, that must be a coincidence. But now they're saying, well, is that someone trying to tell me something? And so it's becoming more and more, individuals become more and more of the awareness of the surroundings around them. And especially whenever you investigate, by utilizing those senses as you was talking about, you will actually capture more than if you did not utilize those senses at all.
Well, yeah, the hyper-awareness part of this thing, I think that's where that is the key to it, as I think people are much more aware now. They're going to, like you just said, they're going to think more about just the penny, for example. Just, you know, mm-hmm. you know, before I think it was more, well, there's a penny there, wow. Well, now I think people are asking, well, how did that penny get there? Why did that penny get there? Is this someone or something trying to tell me something? And that's really, really important. That's what I do all the time now. That's all I seem to be doing with every situation in my life is, well, why did it happen that way? You know, why did it play out this way? And that all ties in together, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly. And again, I want to share that, you know, I've personally had the opportunity to work with investigative groups in different locations, and I think it's a great partnership, because if by myself going in and sharing the abilities I have, I can validate some things about the current particular location through my abilities, it's also backed up, per se, with the scientific realm of an investigator by utilizing these meters and the voice recorders and things like that. So, mm-hmm. I think with the combination of both, It's doing what it's doing. It's becoming, again, it comes down to it's allowing more people to become more aware and say, let's be more open-minded about this. There's got to be more than just being here for so many years and then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any, like, when you're out and about with folks and they say, oh, but you need to look at this photo or you need to listen to this little clip of audio recording. Have you seen or heard anything very compelling out of what they do in that just bolsters what you've perceived?
I receive audio and photographic images every day. Every day I get something people want me to look at I received a video here just recently of in someone's home, and there's actually you can actually see, looks like legs and feet walking from the hallway into the bathroom.
Oh, my goodness.
And
ooh.
So they wanted to know my thoughts on that, and I relayed back to them. I said, well, I feel like it's a female energy, and I went on to share a couple of other things, and they came back and validated that his wife had moved on just a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, and it was just typical for her to be, for the things that I shared with him. So I receive those daily, and they're an inspiration for me because, you know, it's usually amazing for me because it's like when I look at a photographic image right away, I start receiving the things, and then when I get that, it's like, how did I do that?
Well, that's – I mean, how did you do that? I mean,
yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
What the heck?
It's really amazing because I also work with I've worked with missing individuals, and it's really amazing to me because I really can't explain, but when I look at a photograph or I look at a video, I look at it, and then I immediately, before I look at anything, I ask for guidance because it's not Rick Hayes doing it. I know that it's loved ones who has moved on that's helping me to share the messages, as I'm looking at the image or looking at the video, I immediately hear someone telling me what to write down, and I'll write it down, or I'll immediately get little film clips of myself or little images myself of what I'm supposed to write down. And, you know, a lot of times I get names, sometimes I get dates, sometimes I get exact validations of a particular memory or an experience,
mm-hmm.
with that particular area, but again, it's very hard to explain. It really is. I actually receive what I receive is what I call verbal thought. It's like you and I talking right now, but it's not like the way we speak.
Yeah,
and that happens a lot whenever I'm looking at photographic images, and then of course if I actually am physically in the location. That's when I see the spiritual energies, and as we talked before, I do not see balls of light or orbs of light. Actually, when I see those are angels. Actually, what I see is an elongated light that's very bright in the center, and those are spiritual energies. And I'll see those in locations, or they'll help me to understand who they are by giving me their how they look when they was in their physical body, and they will come through in a physical energy like that. So yeah, it's a daily routine for me.
Well, they literally show you like what they looked like in their I guess their past life. I mean, the life they had before they became this spiritual body. They show
again,
you.
Yeah, again, yeah. They will if I do not understand who they are. Now, there's a lot of times if they come in just in a spiritual energy, what I call the elongated light, mm-hmm. and they'll be very near the one I'm supposed to relay the messages to. By sharing these messages, we immediately know. We will validate who this individual is, but if we cannot figure out, for example, if I go and investigate a location and we're not sure about the history of the location, they will actually come through. I was in one yesterday, and I was in a very old home, and he came through for me, and he actually came through and showed me. He was actually sitting in a rocker, and I started describing them, and they wrote everything down, and they was going to check to see the original owner of this home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt in my mind they're going to find out that if they find a picture of this person, it's going to be that individual.
Oh, well, then you can tune into these things. That's what I find fascinating. So I can't do that. I've tried. I can't. I mean, well, like you say, I mean,
it's
we all
muscle. You got to work it. Evidently.
Well, yeah, I mean that we hear that all the time, Rick. Where people like yourself say, look, we all have this ability. Some of us tune into it easier than others, and some of us have to train over years to get tuned into this. So, I mean, I'm still working on it myself. That's all I can say. Why don't we take a quick break, though, okay? I know we have a lot more to cover here. I do have an interesting question for you. I was, like, just reading through some stuff here, and I want to hit you with this after the break, if that's okay. I want to keep it secret right now, though. I want to keep it ultra secret. I don't want to say anything. So why don't we take a quick break? This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this. Ghostly Talk? You go to ADDUnderground.com and click on Slackin' Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk. You're better than you are.
this is Francis Sampier, producer of the upcoming independent horror film, Moral Road. This is a horror film based on an actual Michigan legend about a ghost who's searching for her baby.
Much of ghost hunting is spent in a cemetery. And much of that last break was talking about cemetery.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know,
it ties in with the question that you had, though.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, a while ago, a little while ago, we talked to a certain person on the show who had a very strong feeling.
A couple of people,
that had very strong feelings about the existence or this thing about spirits or ghosts or entities being in cemeteries. And it's one of the things I wanted to ask Rick was, you know, what is your opinion on this? Do you think that spirits linger or wander around cemeteries? I'm just curious about that.
Well, I do feel that if someone, it is a place of memory and honor for the individual. And I do feel that when we go to a cemetery and we go to honor and we go to think about the individual, the loved one, why wouldn't that particular loved one be there with you during this time?
Mm-hmm.
But I usually share with everyone, when you get in the car and leave, they go with you. You know, I really feel that, you know, why would you want to stay in a place where nothing's going on? It's just nothing but physical bodies that have completed their plan, that the spiritual energy is no longer in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you not want to go and be with the loved ones and guide them and protect them during their daily life here on earth?
Mm-hmm.
I usually share which choice would you want to be at, you know, to hang around in a place and be 6 feet in the ground forever, or would you want to go and run around and protect and guide those loved ones you're with?
Okay, so
I do feel, you know, and again, I've investigated a lot of locations that I've been told it was, quote, haunted, that, you know, that spiritual energies are, quote, trapped in these particular areas. I do not feel this. I truly feel that whenever I go, or when individuals go to a location like a cemetery, they're just simply being tour guides, and they're saying, let me share with you some memories. Let me share with you some experience about this location. And as far as the cemetery, you're here to honor me and memory with me. I want to be here because of that.
So they
when you leave, I'll be gone too.
So they kind of come with you, more
exactly.
or less.
Or they show up there because you're there.
Or here's another idea. Here's another idea, though. Could there be a certain person or spirit or whatever you want to call it? We've heard about these people, certain people that pass on, and they are not convinced they're dead. They don't know where they're at. They're confused about the reality they're in now. Therefore, they kind of stay, you know, in a certain place, and that's where we get, you know, another way we get the term haunting from. They're confused about where they're at. So they may, I mean, with that idea in place, that theory in place, couldn't they maybe linger in a cemetery where they feel, as I've heard this before, they feel comfortable with, this is their tombstone, this is their grave. They feel comfortable with that area. They feel like that's their home, or that's the only thing that they can recognize. It's familiar to them. So that's why they may roam there and stay there. That's an idea that I thought of, is they may be confused. They may not know what's
right.
going on.
Well, there, again, my thoughts may be a little different, but I truly feel that being in a state of confusion, that is a state of a physical body and a physical mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So confusion is not a part of when we move on. You will completely understand. You will completely understand life.
Mm.
And what you didn't learn in life here, you will know when you move on. Again, I don't feel like they're stuck in or remaining in a particular location, unless, just like I was sharing about the older home earlier, unless there is a lot of memories and a lot of experiences for that individual, you know, that for that loved one's moved on. Why wouldn't they want to be, you know? And if you go and visit this, like I stated, like at home, who better to know about that home or that location than the ones who has the memories and experiences there. It's like if I came to your home, I wouldn't. If you would have to show me where, you know, where the rooms are, and you would also, as we're going walking through your home, you'd say, well, that's where when I was a young child, I took a purple crayon and went across the wall. You know, you'd have a lot of stories to talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the loved ones that have moved on are simply guiding us, you know, and helping us to understand. And the cemeteries, when you're there for in a cemetery, if you're not there for any particular individual, but you're there for a reason, for example, for investigators to I immediately think of Gettysburg when we're talking about this.
Mm.
So many individuals go to the cemetery, and you know there's validations and documentation of ghosts roaming this particular area.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're there to learn about the history of that location. Who better to tell you and to share with you the memories of the history of that terrible ordeal
mm.
than the ones who actually was involved in it?
We were just there 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Right? Wow.
We were just in Gettysburg out there hanging around. We didn't get to go to the cemetery. We went to the cemetery in 2004. This time around, we didn't have much time to really do as much exploring as we would have liked to. But I have been to that cemetery, and it's huge.
How did you feel when you walked through that area, though?
Well,
did you have a feeling?
To be honest with you, I felt very peaceful.
Yeah,
it's a very peaceful place.
The cemetery was very peaceful and honorable and well, you know, honor. It just you felt the honor, you felt the a weight of history,
you know,
on your shoulders. Like, wow, you know what this represents is just insanely huge.
I mean,
but also you know you feel the peace and the you know how the difference between then and now.
Well, the thing that was interesting, though, Rick, is, I mean, I talked to people that were in the cemetery, and we had a friend that was kind of explaining stuff to us there also in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd walk by a cemetery plot and go, you know, for example, he'd say something like, well, you know, some of these people were blown apart, literally blown apart, okay? So not their entire bodies are buried here. It's, you know, maybe an arm or a leg or something like that or whatever they may have found of these people, which in and of itself, that thought, that concept, is pretty horrendous, right? I mean, am I wrong here, everybody? I mean, it's pretty gross, right?
Yes, it is.
And I was hearing things like this the whole time, you know, like just this person lost their arm, or this, you know, this gross thing happened here, or this gross thing happened here. But at the same time, again, though, I have to stick with that. When I walked out of there, that's one of the things I did pay attention to, Rick, was, you know, okay, how did it feel to you? Well, I think it was very peaceful, which, you know, a lot of cemeteries are very peaceful places.
Yeah.
And I think when they engineered and architected this particular cemetery in Gettysburg, I think they had the same idea in mind that this is a peaceful place. The war's over, right? The war's over. Chill out. let's learn about this thing now and try not to let it happen again.
I got emotional in that cemetery.
Well, yeah, it's an emotional thing. I mean, I think Rick can agree with us on that, too. I mean, you think about stuff like I just mentioned, like people being blown apart. It's not the happiest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But again.
But you know, Scott, again, what you brought up about the feeling of being very peaceful, if you think about it, if you go into a room and there's 100 individuals in this room and they're all very relaxed, very peaceful, this feeling will actually blend into your own emotions. And vice versa, if you went to a room where there was a lot of chaos and a lot of panic, this again would blend into your emotions. And when we go into places like Gettysburg, they're wanting to share with you. You're getting the feeling that they're feeling. Those who have moved on in that area was just sharing with you, hey, we're at peace now. It's very peaceful now. We're happy now.
Mm-hmm.
We're filled with joy.
And that's what you get. I mean, it's obviously a big tourist thing. There's lots of people there. There's lots of things to look at, and there's lots of things to buy. We both know that, Rick.
Yeah.
But there is that. I mean, everywhere you go there, not just the cemetery. I mean, you Devil's Den. We talked about that for a little while, as a matter of fact, the first hour of this show. Little Round Top. You know, the triangular field.
The battlefield.
All around there. I mean, this. First of all, from what I understand, Gettysburg in particular is the number one most well-preserved battle site on the planet. They started actually, curating it and keeping it original, like about 3 years after the war occurred. Okay, what's up?
Can we jump off that topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or let that topic lead into another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because this is happening then, it happened then, and it's I think it's happening now. It's all about, like, fulfilling, okay, the afterlife obviously happens after, you know, our current life is over and we move on. And you had started out talking about, you know, learning and fulfilling our you know, life path, right? We're supposed to be here for a reason, and we have to fulfill that, and then we learn and we move on when we're done. And what about, it just seems so unfair, and it seems so bizarre that those young men in the Battle of Gettysburg, and then the young men and women who right now are overseas in Iraq or where are they? Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever they are, out west or mid-east or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're out there, you know, doing these things. These are very, very by my age, they're very young. they have what I would think an entire life ahead of them, yet some of them are not faring like that. Some of them are gaining life experience and will come back and will, you know, raise families and you know, and see retirement and, you know, play golf at, you know, in Florida for a couple of decades, you know, before expiring. But a not insequential or not non, what is it called?
Non-sequential.
No, it's a significant significant number are not going to be able to do that.
They're not going to come back.
Because we are losing people. We lost a lot of people in Gettysburg. We're losing people overseas right now. Why is that their life path? Why is it supposed to be cut so short? Isn't it unfair?
Well, there's two comments on that. Number one, I truly feel that we're all given a purpose in life. When we're all created, we're given a path in life to follow that is our purpose. But we're also given, we're not placed here as robots and say, you have to follow this path. We're also given what I call the gift of choices.
Mm-hmm.
We're given choices where we can make our own choices. We can make our own decisions. And sometimes when we make the choices that are not right for our path, that's when things continue to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But by asking our loved ones and our Creator to help us get back on our path, that's when we get back on. Now, the other comment I wanted to make was that what we perceive as being young for that individual, for having such a young and short life, was actually a fulfilling and fulfilling life and very full life. And that was they had completed their purpose in life. I consult with those who have had family members who have taken their own life, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And once we begin to talk about, they will share, first of all, they will share with me a comment. They will state, why did this have to happen? He was so young or she was so young. Why, you know, and had so much ahead of her. And why did they do this? Why did this have to happen to them at such a young age? And once we begin to talk about what all they had brought to that family, what all they had brought to those around them, and we begin to look at that, we begin to see how fulfilling and how filling their life really was. And so just like those in Iraq right now and those who are in the Gettysburg, we may look at it as being their life was stopped, what we would perceive as being cut short.
Yeah.
But it actually was they had completed their plan in life, and that was their purpose in life, and they had a very full life. If you look at each individual and start talking to their families and start talking to their loved ones, you would immediately see how fulfilling their life really was.
Well, you know, when you think about it in those terms also, I mean, that's the number one thing. When a young person passes away, like a person, you know, 18 to 20 years old, they pass away. They're no longer with us. A lot of the first thing people say is, oh, boy, just a baby. He was just a baby. He or she was just a baby. Why, you know, why do they have to go so soon? But there's some people that I know personally that have spent about 70 years on this planet and pretty much have not done too much. They just kind of got a job and they went out and they didn't really make, you know, they didn't really try to make a dent anywhere. They just kind of went out. went through the motions, jumped through the hoops. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do either. That's fine also. But they didn't really make much of a dent. And I think a lot, I mean, I've told people, I've had people tell me this. I mean, people I've met, you know, way back in the year saying, boy, you know, I wish I could have done something else with my life. You know, things would have been a lot different if I would have taken that opportunity I had there. But, you know, that's how the cards fall. So, I mean, yeah, like you say, in Earth terms, yeah, someone who's 18 or 20 years old, yeah, you know, that's a very short amount of time for someone to live. But, I mean, it really is, I think, a lot of what life is all about.
Exactly.
Is how much you try to put in. I mean, that 20 years, there could have been a lot of things that happened.
Mm-hmm. I've seen four, you know, I've consulted with families who has four-year-olds who can, you know, 3-4 years old, complete their life, and we begin to look, and like you said, Scott, they failed their life so much in those 3-4 years, more than a lot of those that would be 70, 80 years old.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think you have to think about that, too. I think people just look at the outer crust of this and say, well, geez, that person was only 4 years old. But what did they do in those 4 years? You know, what happened
and
within
who
that?
Who did they affect?
Who did they affect?
Yeah.
I mean, that, like I said,
positive
I mean...
positive effect. Well, what about the opposite? What about the folks who could be, who make bad choices, perhaps, who not so much suicides as folks who then what they do is, for example, they'll graduate from high school. They'll have these wonderful opportunities. But then society intervenes and ego and things like that, and suddenly they're addicted to cocaine.
Okay.
And then they're in these,
they have all kinds of problems that stem from that.
These issues, you know, these places, you know, in the bowels of inner cities and things, and they're just no longer being productive members of society. They're now substance abusers, and they feel they have no control anymore, and some of them end up deceased.
Yeah, they do.
And some of them can turn their life around.
Some of them go on like that for years.
Some of them go on like that for years. Why is that thrown in front of people?
Well, it's I truly feel we had trials in life, what I call trials in life, and again, in seminars, I speak about the different types of trials we all experience in our life, and trials are nothing more than lessons for us to learn, and how we take these trials and learn from these trials is how we will learn more about life so that we can better guide and protect when we move on. But just in the case what you're talking about, I mean, there was a particular trial that, instead of learning and understanding what the true gift is of that particular trial, they continually make the wrong choices. They're continually making the wrong choices and not asking for guidance and not getting on the purpose in life that they should be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to step back and try not to step on a soapbox about this either. I mean, you brought this up, Doug, but I just had a family member contact me a couple days ago with a dilemma they're in about something like this. Saying this person got clean, they got their life together, and then all of a sudden they started up on it again. And I'm like, well, geez, you know, and the question was, well, what should I do? Like, this person, I mean, this is the trial, though. This illustrates that trial you're talking about. I guess some people just don't learn the first time around. They have to go through it a couple times to really understand, like, look, this is the wrong thing to do. It's not going to help you any. It's only going to hurt you, and it could result in you being gone before what we would perceive your time is up.
Right, and what I you know, in speaking engagements, I share, it's a lot like, I remember when I was in high school, and unfortunately I had to take algebra, and I remember the algebra book, because with the algebra book you had the answers in the back, and you could do two things. You could, you know, if the teacher said solve problem number 3, for example, you could go directly to the back, get your answer, put it on there. But what have you learned?
Learn nothing.
If that particular problem comes up again on a test, which seems to happen a lot. You know, when that came up again, you weren't prepared for it. You did not learn because you took the simple solution of going right to the back of the book and getting an answer. And it's well that way with our choices. When we have a trial in our life, we have to learn from it and learn from the problem and not try to find the quick answer, because if that comes down again, comes down the road again along your path, you're not going to know the solution as easy as if you did. As you did when you found the solution before.
And that's a great analogy of that, too. I think a lot of people get locked into that where they say, I'm going to take the quick answer, and I'm just going to, you know, do whatever it is to kind of, what do they call it, tune out. And, yeah, I mean, it keeps coming up. I mean, that's what I tell people a lot, you know, with life and things like that. It's like, look, Yeah, tune out for a little while, but when you come back down, so to say, it's still going to be there. The issue is still going to be there. It's not gone away. You didn't make it go away. You didn't resolve it. You didn't give any closure to this thing. It's still there, and 9 times out of 10, it's even worse now because you haven't addressed it yet.
Right.
That's a huge thing. People just, and a lot of people just don't seem to understand that yet. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm leaving it alone because, I mean, I can start really whining about this, and I just don't, I'm not going to do that. So, all right. Doug?
No, I think it was a great observation. I really do. Well, I understand that we're going to finally get to meet you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
Well, we're going to be at the Mid-South Paranormal Convention in Louisville, Kentucky.
September. Yeah, I know it's in September, but of course my, you know, it's not. Oh God, I can't. September. Okay, I'm gonna probably
Where's
mess
the
this
list?
Up. Where I don't have the list on me right now. It's packed away over in that folder.
Well, let me take a peek.
Okay, we're gonna look. We're gonna look right now for both of us, Rick. I think
we're all gonna be there, and I believe they have. Well, I know that I'm gonna be one of the speakers there. So, but I'm excited. You know, I'm finally getting to meet. The stars of Ghostly Talk.
The stars. I like that. The stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people just say, we're just going to meet the people of
Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk. It's September. It's the weekend of September 22nd. September 20th. It's the,
yeah, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Well, the 22nd is the Friday, so the actual convention is 23rd and 24th.
Yeah, so we're all going to be down there, and I have to be honest with you. When I saw the guest list for this year and saw your name on there, I was tickled pink, Rick. I was like, all right, we're going to finally get to meet Rick and hang out and talk with him.
We felt the same way. I actually, my media relations person, when we was talking about it, she says, oh, by the way, weren't you on Ghostly Talk here a while back? And she said, well, they're going to be there at the convention. I said, great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm on radio a lot, but I never get to meet face-to-face, so this is going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be a great convention also.
You know, that's what we said about these conventions, too. We've been going to them quite frequently this summer, and it's been a lot of fun, and one of the number one things I have to say about these things is we've got to meet a lot of people that we've talked to in the past on the show, and I think that's so cool.
We've learned a lot. We've, you know, in talking with people, you can, you know, interact in a way that's even different than my favorite medium, you know, radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to interact a lot more immediately and emphatically. And it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to meet the people that I haven't met yet and re-meet or, you know, meet up with folks I've already met.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, learn a lot and have a blast and really dig into paranormal stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? What's coming up for Rick Hayes? Anything new going on here in the future?
Every day there's something new.
We're
currently in our Life's Gift Seminar. We're completing our year this year. We're going to be up around Indianapolis in about 2 weeks, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And 2007, we're starting putting that together for next year. So we'll be bringing the seminars throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a new book I'm working on. It's what we're talking about tonight about how to develop your own perceptive abilities. I call it Learning to Listen, the 7 Keys to Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got another new project I'm really excited about. We call them teleseminars, and they'll be starting in October. And this is where it'll be basically a seminar where you'll be able to listen in the comfort of your home over the telephone.
Oh, really?
But we got new things going on every day, and it's just – I usually share with everyone, I wake up in the morning, you know, and I give thanks for my day, and I give thanks for the guidance I'm going to be getting for the day and consulting with individuals. But, you know, I just wake up with a saying, I'm so excited what's going to happen today because it's an exciting life, I tell you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes you get down on yourself and things get rough here and there, but in general, I have to agree, Rick, you know, with it, things are... There's a lot of days where I have off of work. I don't have to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, it seems like. And I say, well, I could just lay in bed here all day long and just sleep, or I could actually get up and do something or learn something new or kind of take something in that I haven't taken in a long time. And that's really important to me. I tell people that all the time. I'm like, there's too much stuff to do. There's too many fun things to do, too many things to learn to lay in bed all day long. Get out there and do something with yourself.
and that's why I wrote this, you know, this book, Stepping Stones, was – you know, it's a book about I receive questions daily about life and life after. So it's a It's a book about life and life after that, based on questions I've received and thoughts I've had, you know, all my life. And I touch bases on everything from reincarnation to life after to the theory of evolution, things like that. Because each and every day I receive a question, and it's a new thought for me, and it's something that I learn from. So, and that's what life's all about, is to learn each day.
I agree.
And Stepping Stones, Thoughts Along Life's Path is available at your website, Life. It's www.lifegift.com. And
right.
Excellent.
It's also available at Amazon.com, and I think, and also at Barnes and Noble, some Barnes and Noble bookstores. If they're not in your local bookstore, we just recommend to everyone just have their local bookstore contact us, and we'll get them in there.
Absolutely, that sounds great, Rick. We need to thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you again. It's been a lot of fun as always,
it's
and
always
I look forward to seeing y'all in a few weeks.
Oh yeah,
that's
for
gonna
sure.
Be awesome,
Rick.
I can't wait.
Hang on the line for 1 second, okay, Rick? We're just gonna close the show out. Yeah, guys, this is it. We got to make way for Full Moon Radio with the lovely Laura. Hi, Laura. How you doing, Laura?
Are you? What are you doing?
He's flirting.
I'm not flirting. I'm just saying hello.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's sitting right behind me
right
now. You guys want to be killed?
Yeah,
thank you.
Not going to happen. Okay.
Shut up.
You guys, this has been Ghostly Talk. I'd like to thank each and every listener, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to thank, of course, Rick Hayes of LifeSgift.com, mm-hmm. Diana Avena of RoswellGhostTour.com,
mm-hmm.
The folks who, Mountaineer Ghosts, the folks who invited us out to West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, Chris and his gang at
Grimstone Incorporated. Great bunch of people.
Dragging us over to, we'll talk about that in a future show, but
yeah.
Dragging us out to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And of course,
Vince Wilson,
Vince
all the guys
Wilson.
Over there at Ghost Tech, thank you so much for letting us come out to the conference and hang out, too.
Absolutely amazing. We will be back next week with more of this insanity, or whatever it is, called Ghostly Talk. See you then.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. Listen to now.
Media, become the media.